if these were silent, the stones would shout out. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, it is likely that most of you have come to worship this morning, have heard the familiar story of Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We wave our palms in the air, or as our children of our church did, and we wave them as if we too were present in that moment of Jesus' entry. We know of the young colt that Jesus rode and the cloaks that were laid upon the road. Today of all days, there is a sense of celebration as we worship the King of all kings. And yet even on this celebratory day, there is the sense of what is to come. And it isn't very good from our point of view. This week's passage kicks off the holiest of weeks for believers of Jesus Christ, an intense week in which we remember the ultimate sacrifice upon the cross of crucifixion offered to us by the one that we call our Savior. Now, honestly, it's not the easiest of weeks for Christians. It's in our face this week, the complete experience of pain and suffering and death that Jesus endured for our salvation. In many ways, it's not a pretty kind of week, but it's a journey in which we are called to walk towards and to remember before Easter Sunday. Our Lenten experience has been a journey as well. Lent is usually a season of conversion, of turning around, of reorienting our lives towards God, just in case we may have slipped off course a bit. And it's been a time for us as individuals and as a community to study and pray and examine our lives, to look inward and to ask ourselves the difficult question of whether we're ready and willing to follow Jesus, not just today when we celebrate the King of all kings in this glad procession, but are we ready and willing to follow Jesus all the way to the cross of suffering? We follow Jesus seeking restoration, healing in so many parts of our lives. And we've read the stories of Jesus restoring our broken hearts and broken trust and broken promises. And today we think about the ways that Jesus heals our broken expectations. Isn't it true that we live in a world of expectations? We expect to receive good news from the doctor. We expect to enjoy our retirement to its fullest or find work that is meaningful and rewarding. How many of us make expectations upon our family and friends that they will support and love us unconditionally? But at some point, we find these expectations get broken over and over again. For a variety of reasons, what we expect doesn't always happen or happen quite the way we hoped or prayed. The news from the doctor requires more testing or new medication. Our retirement finds us worried about covering our bills or maybe having to go back to work again. Our children or grandchildren disappoint us, or even worse, seem to completely forget about us. Broken expectations bring us here today feeling less like we want to wave palms in celebratory fashion or lay down our coats in kingly reverence. Most likely, if we're being honest, we'd rather take that palm and whack it against a few people with out of frustration, or perhaps maybe just lay ourselves down because we are tired and worn out from life. The worn-out feeling of broken expectations is what I believe most of the Jerusalem people were experiencing the day that Jesus and his disciples arrived in the city. Did you notice, as we read the scripture, that it was the disciples who first offered praises to Jesus? It's as if the people around him weren't quite sure how to respond. I think they eventually responded with the waving of the palms, but did they come and gather and just wait to see what they should do? Because they were tired, and they were tired of broken expectations. And for them, would Jesus be the next broken expectation? It took the disciples who had spent intense 3 years with Jesus to be able to find the voice to praise him as he arrived in the city. The reality is that I believe the people that gathered around Jesus and watched him walk into the city were a worn-out bunch just trying to live lives during the turbulent time of Passover, when the crowds always get a bit unruly. Perhaps there was a feeling in the air, like there may be at a political rally or a school board meeting during the pandemic. Something was going to happen that would stir the crowd towards action, but not necessarily positive, good action. Pilate has arrived to keep the peace in the city so that negative action does not arise out of the crowds. He travels with troops and flags and weapons, all the signs of empire, and very impressive, of course. Imagine Pilate rode in on a magnificent horse. In case the flags and weapons and troops aren't a sufficiently intimidating display of power to the people. And then we have Jesus, on the other hand, full of a different kind of power. And Jesus makes his entrance riding a humble donkey, surrounded by his somewhat ragged group of followers. And we know that he doesn't keep the same kind of peace that Pilate and Rome intend, a business as usual kind of peace that benefits their empire and the folks that are ruling on top. Of course, this particular donkey, like any animal suited for sacred use, has probably never been ridden. And that should tell them something. Something sacred is happening right before their eyes. Yes, a common donkey may not be the sort of animal one rides to war or in conquest, but this is no triumphant warrior or conquering power coming into the holy city or into our hearts. This is the King of Peace. So Jesus doesn't meet Pilate's expectations of peace, but instead he brings peace that passes understanding. And much of what is about to unfold in the next few days will be the price that he pays to bring it. His disciples have seen things that have changed their lives forever and have raised their hopes sky high. And just like the disciples, the people of Jerusalem weren't just hungry for freedom and victory, they ached for it. They yearned for it. And they expected Jesus to finally rise above the Roman Empire and rule all God's people from a throne of power. In the episodes of The Chosen we have been watching on Sunday afternoon here at the church, the creator of the series, Dallas Jenkins, makes a point of highlighting the tension between the Jewish people and the Roman authority. They existed together, but not very happily. The people of God endured Roman rule while living with the hope that God would restore their kingdom and overthrow those who persecuted their lives because of their beliefs. So imagine again their responses when they see Jesus, who they have either seen do miraculous miracles, they've seen that with their own eyes, or at least they've heard about his radical teachings riding into Jerusalem, but not just on a donkey. Scripture tells us he rode in on a colt, a young donkey. Not even a full-grown, more manly-sized donkey, but an unstable little colt. Suddenly, the people who have been excited to welcome this mighty king, their conqueror of the Romans, are greeted by a man with much humbleness. Just when the crowd in Jerusalem experiences a broken expectation that Jesus will rule the kingdom, he does something far more that they could or even we could imagine. Jesus deals with the impossible and inevitable. He deals with sin and death. Jesus slays the giants of sin and death, and not by sword, but by a sacrifice. Not with the power of thousands, but with the power of one. Christ's story doesn't end here on Palm Sunday. We know that there is much more for Christ to experience before Easter Sunday. His human body will be whipped and beaten. Christ will be crucified on a cross in a horrible way. And it is a hard story for any of us to hear. These are hard scenes for us to contemplate. It is a hard reality to face what Jesus Christ did for each of us. But we need to know the entire story in our life together as a worshiping community, because we need to hear it, contemplate it, and face it. We need to be reminded that through all of it, Jesus walked not only with courage, but with dignity and gentleness and grace. We need to hear it because his walk of courage inspires our walk of faith in this life and into the life to come. Imagine the disciples walking around Jesus on the colt as they arrive to the entrance of Jerusalem. Some of the disciples walked in front of Jesus. They were the ones ready to embrace the role of disciple once Christ died. They would be the ones to share the good news of the gospel to the far reaches of the world. There were probably disciples walking on either side of Jesus, not yet ready for full leadership, but yearning for a few more minutes beside their teacher and friend. They were the ones who needed just a little bit more reassurance before sharing the good news of the gospel. And then there were disciples and followers of Jesus Christ behind him, not quite ready to walk with Jesus or before Jesus. Those were the ones who had doubts, perhaps like Thomas, or in their heart was the stirring of betrayal, much like Judas. They are disappointed that Jesus has not met their expectations of a conquering hero or fierce defender of their faith in a way that they had imagined. Now, where are we on the journey to the cross? Are you before or beside or behind Jesus? I'm not sure there is a right or wrong place to be, but the image of where we walk around Jesus is a reflection of the variety of places we all find ourselves on our faith journey. You may find yourself moving into different positions around Jesus. Perhaps for a time you were ahead of Jesus, anxious to serve others and share the good news. And then you experienced something in your life that made you doubt, and you needed time behind the shadow of Jesus Christ, just until you could come beside him and walk with him, soaking up his love and grace. Well, the good news, my friends, is that no matter where we are in the crowd, Jesus is with us, loving us completely all the way to the cross. And through his perfect obedience, Jesus overcomes the power of anything that can discourage, divide, diminish, or destroy us. We're pointed toward heaven, by the praise of the multitude, which says, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Any expectation that we may have broken within ourselves, towards another, or in the presence of Jesus will be fully restored through the death and resurrection of our Savior. And that's the beauty and blessing of Jesus' triumphal entry. It has the power to restore whatever expectations have been broken and need restored. Palm Sunday reminds us that Jesus restores us in ways that we can never imagine. He does it in an unconventional way, a new way, a way not preferred by the world around us at times. But it's the only way restoration can be complete. The only way is for Jesus to suffer and die and be crucified. This Holy Week, we are invited to walk the entire journey to the cross with Jesus. And we may all be at different places on the journey, some before Jesus, some beside Jesus, and even some way behind Jesus. But the good news is that each and every one of us arrives at the same place. A place full of God's love and grace and mercy. On Palm Sunday, we praise Jesus and ask him to do the impossible for us. And you know what? Jesus does the impossible. Not just to break down the political powers of his time, but to offer all God's children the gift of eternal life. Our deliverance on a colt has arrived. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, if you are able, will you please stand and join with me in our song of praise, Shout to the Lord.